Hello, everyone. Welcome to Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour on the road again.
Final wrap-up show.
Final wrap-up show. We're heading home. I'm sleepy. I'm exhausted from all this traveling and sleeping in random locations and all sorts of stuff.
Now you know what a minor league baseball player feels like.
Yeah, exactly. Except, I don't know. Yeah, exactly like a minor league baseball player. So, yeah, with the Hampton Inns and everything.
Yeah, right.
We're currently in... I don't know where we are. Are we in Virginia or Maryland?
We're in northern Maryland. We're getting into Pennsylvania.
Okay, we're in Maryland and we're going to get in Pennsylvania soon. We're going to stop by the world-famous Breezewood soon enough.
Oh, God.
So we're heading home now. We have two more shows we're going to do. We're going to do one more with Cedar Point. We're going to do one with Kings Island. Those will be released in the next, I think, week or two. Not concurrently, but like this, but separate. We'll give our thoughts on all those attractions. So, Jeff, What are your thoughts from this trip? It went by quick, but what are your thoughts in general about everything?
Loved it. We were really lucky with the crowds.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, even on Saturday with King's Dominion, we had a really solid day there.
The rain helped keep people away, and so did the power outage.
Yes.
We were very lucky with crowds at all the parks, really. Which was very fortunate. So if you guys end up unemployed or have time off in May,
that's the time to go to amusement parks.
Yeah,
because there ain't nobody there.
Exactly. Any other thoughts?
Not about the trip.
Okay.
But we can talk about the news that we missed.
Well, let's talk about the news. What do you want to start off with?
Start with Six Flags.
Okay, so Six Flags has... I just want to make sure I have it up so I can do this. Have announced that they have bought the light... I think it was the operating rights. Currently, the parks are owned by ERP Properties, who leases them out under a management contract to Premier Parks, who takes care of the day-to-day operations. Six Flags worked out some deal with Premier Parks to acquire the late lease rights to five parks, and once the deal is complete, then Six Flags will take over the management and operations of these parks. Which is really weird and bizarre and different, and I don't know. But basically, they're going to be taking over Wet n' Wild Splashdown in Houston, Texas, Wet n' Wild Phoenix, Darien Lake, along with Frontier City and Whitewater Bay. So, basically, they're taking over some of their old parks that they used to have. But also, which is interesting, is that this expands their kind of water park presence with locals, so trying to push those memberships more.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. So, Jeff, what are your thoughts?
I'm interested to see what that deal with Darien Lake is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Like... You know, I mean, it seems like Six Flags has a management contract, but does that mean that they have carte blanche over how, like, what rides will be added, or, like, what capital is going to be invested?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, is Premier just basically, you know, the landlord just sort of charging rent?
Yeah. I don't know yet, so that's a good question, and... I think something we need to watch out for.
How has Darien Lake been run the last couple years?
Okay, it's not great.
Yeah. So is this going to be an improvement then?
No idea. I'm not the right person to ask for that one, in all honesty. But yeah, that's kind of where we are with that. Hopefully they don't get rid of Moose Unloose.
Yes. That. The one thing that Six Flags cannot do is get rid of Moose Unloose.
Yes. So, next up is me stretching my legs. Ah, that feels really good.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. Hang Time opened at Knott's.
Joe is very impressed with the lighting package.
It is a good lighting package.
How have the reviews come in?
Sounds good. It seems like it's a solid coaster. It's a solid addition. Lots of inversions. Smooth. It seems like it rounds out the park nicely. So.
How tall is it?
Hold on. Hang Time is 150 feet tall, and a top speed of 57 miles an hour.
57?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. Yeah, so there's that.
Why don't you tell us what you think of Disney announcing that Star Wars will be opening in fall 2019?
I don't think it's happening.
And why is that?
I mean, so Star Wars Land's going to open in Disneyland in summer and then Disney World in fall, which has always been the idea because Disney World started much later and you just can't, and they didn't hire enough people to basically do show installation for two things at once, you know? These people are on contract to finish up Disneyland and then head right over to Disney World to finish it up there.
Mm-hmm.
My comments are basically that all it takes is a lot of rain, some setbacks, and some issues with the Disneyland version, and all of a sudden, that November starts looking like January and February real quick.
Right, we've seen that before.
And also, I wouldn't be surprised if Disney somehow tries to pull some shit out of its ass and be like, well, Star Wars Galaxy Edge is open, just like we said, but the rides will open next spring.
Right?
Or
yeah,
something
exactly.
Like that, mm-hmm. Where it's just like, okay, you guys are being...
Didn't they do that with Fantasyland?
They did something like that in New Fantasyland. They opened that up in phases.
They opened, like, Dumbo first. Like,
yeah, they opened Dumbo, and then they opened up, like, Enchanted Tales with Belle, and then they opened up, like, Be Our Guest, and then they opened up Mermaid, and then a year later they opened up Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Mm-hmm.
But... My thing is, like, I just can't see where they're at now and see it open in basically 18 months.
Plus all the ride testing they need to do on the brand new...
Ride systems. Yeah, that's my big one is, you know, this is bigger than... This is twice the size of Diagon Alley. And while, yeah, they're roughly around the same... they're roughly at the same point as Diagon Alley was when it opened, but Diagon Alley also opened real fucking late.
Mm-hmm.
That was delayed. That was supposed to be in June. They opened that thing a month late.
Yeah.
And they probably would have tried to push it even later if they could. But they couldn't. So, it's really, really kind of a bad situation. But I think it's just... I just can't see them opening that in for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And being like, yep, this is what we want.
Which has to be the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... When you say you're opening in fall, that's what you're aiming for.
Yeah.
Get that soft opening in October, and then open it in time for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah. And if they open it in October, then that gives us... Yeah, like, 17 months. You're looking at finishing up... You're finishing up all construction in a year, which is doable, I think. But also then you have a buttload of show installation. And
show installation plus all the training you need to do.
Yeah, and I would be... That's why I'm more positive about the Disneyland one opening. Because the Disneyland one, they'll have their full focus on and go, okay, well, we need to get this open by summer. And Disney World's one is going to be the first one to get any delays.
Hmm.
Like, they're like, oh, shit, we need to do this. This is wrong, or this needs to be changed. That automatically then takes time from Imagineering and all the various contractors to fix Disneyland's one before they even get to the Disney World one.
Right.
And at that point, you know, I guarantee you they didn't, like, order the exact same equipment with the exact same people installing it at both sites. So they're still going to run into something where the sensor at the Disneyland one is different than the sensor at the Disney World one.
Right.
And needs extra... You know, it's kind of that kind of thing. And that's kind of where I am, is, like, it's... It's ambitious, and if they get it done, then great, and then I was wrong, and I'm, you know, whatever. But, it looks rough right now. Looks like they're coming in hot with it.
Yeah.
So...
We're coming in hot!
Yeah.
We're coming in hot!
So that's my take on it. Let's see, what else? They announced Trick or Treat for Halloween Horror Nights 28, which is good. It was a good scare zone.
How recent did they announce the theme?
What theme for what?
For Horror Nights this year.
They haven't announced it
yet. They haven't announced it yet.
Yeah.
But we think we know what it is.
Yeah. The idea, I think, is that they want to make it like the 80s. So, 80s music, 80s scare zones.
zombie Michael Jackson.
Exactly. Thriller, blah, 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 blah. All that stuff. So, they're figuring that out. SeaWorld Florida has free beer.
Hooray!
Yay! Free beer samples. They will get 2 free 7-ounce beer samples between 10:30 a.m. and until an hour before park close. This is good. Also, they're still working on their river raft ride, which is also good.
SeaWorld Orlando.
Yeah, SeaWorld Orlando. That's probably not going to be open until probably late summer at the best.
And a budget of $4.50.
Yeah. That thing is still taking a long time to build, and it's going to continue to be a while until that's done.
So if we have all the minor news out of the way,
yeah,
then we got to talk about the one major item.
Which is?
Our amazing 2-day LARPing adventure.
Oh, yeah.
With Disney.
So the rumor right now is that the Star Wars... So when it was announced, people had no idea what was going on. People, they said Star Wars Hotel, and people were like, oh, it's like a hotel where it's Star Wars.
I would absolutely want to sleep in a sleeping bag.
Or not even that. People thought it was Star Wars Hotel, period.
Right.
Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. And then it's been coming out more and more and more and more, first from Lentesta saying, hey, it's going to be a bunch, it's a required stay of a certain amount of days, and it's a certain, and it's going to be a buttload of money, to things like, well, what about a pool and going outside? And then it kind of branched out to, you're going to be in this building for 2 days.
Held prisoner.
Yeah, held prisoner for 2 days as you experience this magical LARPing adventure of story through the Star Wars thing.
Right.
and then you would do the rest of your vacation afterwards?
I guess.
What's bizarre to me with it is that I don't think it's a terrible concept. The problem is that I don't think this is where you do that. Does that make sense?
Especially at Disney World.
Yeah, at Disney World.
This might turn into another Disney Institute kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, how I view it is, like, this is something great that you would do for, like, 3 months.
Or if they put it in the middle of Missouri. Like, everyone would get a big kick out of that.
Yeah. I was thinking that maybe this is something you would do, like, for 3 months, like, in New York City and Los Angeles and somewhere else. Mm-hmm. In Chicago. And in, like, around the release of movies. And, you know, you do it for a certain amount of months and then you're done. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
or it can travel around.
Yeah, or it can travel around or whatever. But the problem is with it, I think, is that you need a lot of people to buy into this for it to work. And by that I mean not just, hey, we have an X amount of hotel rooms to fill and we need to have an X amount of people in there, but also Timmy loves Star Wars, and Timmy wants to stay at the Star Wars Hotel, but how long will family want to be stuck in a hotel? The Star Wars people.
Right. What if half the family doesn't care for Star Wars?
Or puts up with Star Wars.
And just wants to go to Fantasyland.
Or go to the pool.
Right.
Or go to a nice dinner. Or go to do anything else that's not Star Wars.
It's really, really disturbing.
Or is an introvert and doesn't want to be dragged into the hashtag story and hashtag interactivity,
right,
of the experience. Or, you know, what happens if they come in on a Monday night? Or, like, do you have to check in the morning and then you get late morning all day? And
yeah,
then
what if your flight's delayed?
I mean, there's a ton of questions. Like, is this a 2 full days? Is it 2 nights? Like, we just don't know yet. And there's just so much going on.
It is disturbing, though, how Disney continues to be okay with taking away more and more spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, part of the reason why vacations are so cool or fun or nice or whatever, mm-hmm, is because you can pretty much do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go to the pool now. Fine, go to the pool. I want to go to lunch. Okay, go to lunch. I want to do this. I want to do that. So when you're on a cruise, it makes sense because you're in the middle of the bloody ocean. And you, you kind of can't do anything else. You can't really escape from that. But this, you're at Disney World. And you're right there.
But also,
and the people who don't necessarily want to be there or just sort of tolerate it are going to wonder, why can't I go to Fantasyland for 2 days when it's literally a bus ride away?
Yeah. And my thing also is like, well, when you're a cruise, you have options. I mean, here it sounds like the options are all of the same variety. It's like, I hope you like ice cream because we got a trillion ice cream flavors instead of being like, well, I want cake or pie today. I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. It's like you, when you're in a cruise, it's, well, I could go chill at the pool, or I could go to the spa day, or I could gamble, or...
Right, and so some people will say that there's no difference between this and a cruise, right? It's the same thing. And if you can do this thing on a cruise, you can do it at the Star Wars hotel.
Yeah.
But it is different. Because on a cruise, again, you are in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
Everyone knows you're in the middle of the ocean. So what if you need, you know, a prescription filled, or what if you have an emergency, or et cetera, et cetera. The people who will need a prescription filled or have an emergency or whatever, they won't go on the cruise because they'll know that they're in the middle of the ocean and they don't want to be in the middle of the ocean if they could have an emergency.
Yeah.
But with this, it's like, I'm at a hotel. There's an emergency. Why can't I just leave? And then that leads to, what if I have a minor emergency? And then that leads to, what if I forgot to leave the stove on in my house?
What happens if I did leave the stove on? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then that leads to, oh, I forgot I had a dentist appointment today. You know, and it keeps, I mean, having worked in hotels for several years, one person's emergency is another person's drive to the park.
Yeah.
Right? So who knows what could happen? And people are going to be mad because what if Disney says, no, you can't leave?
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, on a cruise, you know you can't leave. Obviously you can't leave.
But also on a cruise, if you get off at the port of call and take a flight home, you can still fucking do that.
Right. That too. If there is an emergency, you can get off and do whatever it is you need to do to get home.
Yeah.
So, and what if you miss some time? Like, is this really like a, you know, if they make you stay for 2 days... Obviously, there is a itinerary,
uh-huh.
Or else they would let you stay longer.
Yeah, or shorter.
Right.
Or let you go to the theme parks.
And make your own schedule. So obviously, there is an expected itinerary here. So what if you do have a medical emergency and you miss 3 hours of the itinerary? Or what if you get sick? Or what if, you know...
What happens if you sleep in? Why haven't you like sleeping?
Yeah. What if you sleep in? Right? Like, you certainly will have not gotten your money's worth, that's for sure. And then there's another elephant in the room. The fact that Disney doesn't know, historically, whether it's coming or going on the interactivity thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the company that eliminated its interactive division a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just disband it. They disbanded LucasArts.
Mm-hmm.
They disbanded Disney Interactive.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're saying, no, now we want a completely immersive 2-day experience that no one's ever done before, and it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you haven't made Interactive anything a priority.
Mm-hmm.
So how are they actually going to pull it off? And Disney is a corporatized bureaucratic company. So anything they do is going to come with lots of red tape.
Yep.
And when people are upset about something, they're going to do what they always do, and they're automatically going to devolve into the lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the fun little Adventureland game and the fun little Frontierland game at Disneyland was not continued.
Mm-hmm.
Because Disney doesn't do this kind of thing. There's way too much red tape for them to pull this off. So I don't know what people expect is going to happen. who Disney is going to hire for this. Because if you want, like, if you're a huge Star Wars fan, and if you want a real LARPing experience, this is not going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
This is Disney corporatized, streamlined, watered down, filtered down experience.
Approved.
Approved experience. Mm-hmm. If you're a huge Star Wars geek and you like role-playing, or if you like LARPing, or if you like gaming at all, it's not going to be that. It's going to be the equivalent of, like, the Cars or Wall-E Nintendo Wii games, where it's just as watered down and as basic as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that, quote-unquote, everyone can have fun. So, yeah.
My... Also, like, there are Ren fairs, and there are medieval things where people go for a weekend up to a camping site, and there's, you know, Ren fair medieval stuff, and they cosplay and they do stuff and all that jazz. Well, that's great and all, but also it's one day a week. Like, one day a year. Like, one weekend a year.
Right.
Like, not a constant 365, 24/7 experience. And maybe the Star Wars thing is a huge hit, or maybe it's going to blow up in their face and they have to totally redo everything. I just don't know yet. There's too many questions, and my only worry is that I think Disney's convinced themselves that if anything Star Wars will sell money, that they've kind of lost track of what actually people want out of this experience.
Well, that goes with everything Disney does, though.
Yeah.
Disney can just build whatever it wants, and it'll automatically make money just because it's Disney and it has characters on it.
Yeah. And they're so used to making that money that when it doesn't come, they freak out. Badly.
Or they blame someone else.
Yeah.
Not them. And see, that's the other thing, too, is that a Disney cruise is not franchise-specific.
Mm-hmm.
It's just have fun with Disney. Right?
Yeah.
Just like a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Polynesian. It's just having fun with Disney in an Adventureland setting.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not it's not the Tarzan Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Indiana Jones Hotel or whatever. But now it's franchise specific.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get it wrong, the people who like the franchise will not like them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, who are you building this for? Are you building it for Star Wars fans? Because if you're building it for Star Wars fans, you're not going to be building it for casual fans.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be building it for people who don't... And what about the people who don't really know about Star Wars, but who are excited to do stuff with Disney?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to like this? Because if they like it, then probably the Star Wars fans will not like it.
Mm-hmm.
For the reasons that I described before.
Yeah. I'm just all over the place on it. It'll
really, really come down to execution.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the execution has to be, like, so absurdly specific if they're going to do it right. That it's just sort of a waiting game to see where exactly they're going to screw up.
Yeah.
Not that it won't be popular.
Or if they'll adapt. Like, I bet you it's going to be popular for 2 or 3 years. Incredibly popular. Booked up. And they'll brag about it, and they'll say it's coming to Disneyland, and it's coming to all the parks around the world.
But somebody's going to be upset. And it's not going to be a small somebody. It's going to be a big somebody. It's either going to be Star Wars fans, or it's going to be Timmy and Jesse, you know, 7 and 8 years old, who don't really know what Star Wars is and don't care, but want to spend some fun with Disney.
Yeah.
One of those two demographics will not be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of figuring out who it is. Because it really... What we're talking about is not necessarily that it's going to do poorly.
Or it's going to fail.
But that it's pretty impossible to do this perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are huge landmines ahead. And it's sort of a pick-your-poison situation. And Disney is not good at those situations.
I can see this becoming a thing where Disney thinks they can run this 365 and just cycle through people because people want it, and then I bet after people do it, or then there's soft demand, they then completely change the rules of the game then. That's when you start seeing them.
That's another landmine, though, because it's like, if you build the hotel specifically for that two-day game,
mm-hmm.
they're really going to have to spend a lot to change it.
Yeah.
And they're not going to want to do
so
that.
So then the question becomes, well, are you guys actually going to do this? Are you going to drop the whole entire LARPing experience? Are you going to add that outdoor pool? There's so many questions still.
Right.
Like, what if there's... Because, again, I can see this selling out for 2 years and Disney bragging about it and then saying it's going to every single resort, but then I can see it just plummeting immediately after that 2 years. And
plus they charge so much for it
yeah.
that there's no leeway.
Yeah.
Like, there's no safety net for them. Like, if someone doesn't like it, they will let everyone know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I paid how many thousands of dollars... And
I couldn't use the pool.
Yeah, and Timmy and Jenny, who don't really care about Star Wars, but just want to have fun, they didn't know what the hell was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, at the end of, after 6 hours, they just wanted to see Mickey Mouse again.
Yeah.
Like, if that family does not have a good time, they will let you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Or, most likely, it's going to go in the other direction. Where they're going to build it for Timmy and Jenny, who don't know anything about Star Wars, which means that there's going to be a day and a half's worth of orientation and then half a day worth of actual gaming.
Okay, everyone, sit down. Please pull out your folders.
Right. Pull out your iPads. We're going to play another interactive game that we like to call Candy Crush Star Wars Edition.
Yeah, yeah. It's like orientation. It's like, okay, here's your binder.
If the Star Wars fans pay thousands of dollars... and don't get anything in return, they're going to be pissed, and they're going to let you know about it.
Oh, yeah.
So the question, so we could really pin this down as, we expect this to be successful off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
We expect this to be successful for a couple years, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, where is it going to go wrong? Because Disney cannot make this for everyone. If they try and make it for everyone, they fail.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, where will this go wrong? And when it goes wrong...
How will they react?
How will they react to it?
Mm-hmm.
Because there is, like, no... This isn't just a hotel anymore. Like, if Disney built a DVC hotel themed to Star Wars...
Different story.
That seems like an absolute smash hit.
Mm-hmm.
Forever.
Yeah.
Like, literally forever. People will be buying points in the year 2925.
Yeah.
For this hotel.
Yeah.
Right? That seems like an absolute slam dunk. But when you get this specific... The game changes.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're not making the hotel or the experience for everyone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a Star Wars hotel can pretty much be for everyone, except for the people who just don't want to be overwhelmed with Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, they can always go to the park during the day and mm-hmm. sleep with Star Wars at night, right?
Exactly.
So they will tolerate it. If half the family are giant Star Wars geeks, the half the family that's not will tolerate it, mm-hmm. right? But now it's a different game. So we will see how they react when something goes wrong, or when they finally figure out who they're making it for, and, what they're going to do when the other people they didn't make it for get pissed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's just, there's still a lot of questions. I don't have any answers for them, so I guess that's where our
problem is. Well, that's why we have to wait and see. We have to need more details,
mm-hmm.
and then we can figure out where it will go wrong.
Yep. And we don't even have an opening date for this thing yet. I don't think they have started construction yet. It still seems so early on that I wonder
where... Where is it supposed to go?
Who knows?
Oh,
I have no clue.
In Lakeland.
Yeah, yeah.
In the old Flamingo Crossings area.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, I guess that's it for the news. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay, well, thanks for listening, everyone. We had a fun... We had a blast doing this. We're going to be doing one for Cedar Point. On the way back from Cedar Point, we're going to be doing one from Kings Island. So yeah, we'll see you guys on the other side.